Right, so today is the 26th of November, Tafshin Ayin Ches, and Tafshin Ayin Ches, the sixth of Chodesh Tishrei. So we are at Halacha Day, at the very end of Sefer Shmos and Parshas Pekudei. We have the following idea. In Perek Mem Pasuk Yud Ches. So there is a concept here called Malin B'Kodesh V'lo Muridin. In fact, the Gemara in Maseches Menachos is discussing, or we discussed yesterday, the idea of the Lechem Apanim, the Shulchan, and in the Beis HaMikdash, in the first Beis HaMikdash, we're described as having one Shulchan. In the first Beis HaMikdash, there were 12 that Shlomo HaMelech made a lot of them and lined them up in the Kodesh. So the Gemara says that they would first put one on the breads, would go from a silver one and then to a gold one. Why? So the Gemara says, Shemalin b'kodesh v'lo muridin. So it goes from silver up to gold and not down. Fine. So then the Gemara asks, that's how we learn Malin B'Kodesh. Uminalan de'ein moridin. So how do you know that you're not allowed to detract from the Kedusha? So Amar Rebbe Damar Kras, so the Pasuk tells us, again, it's Menachos Daf Tzadi Tes Amar Aleph, Vayakem, this is our Pasuk, Perek Mem Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayakem Moshe Samishkan, Vayitin Es Adonav, Vayasem Es Garsha, Vayitin Es Brichav, Vayakem Es Amudav. That Moshe established the Mishkan, and he put down the sockets and the beams and the bars, and he raised up the pillars. So that's all it says. That's how you know that you're not allowed to be morid. So how does that teach you that you're not allowed to detract from Kedusha? Where do you see in that pasuk that you're not allowed to detract from Kedusha? So Rashi gives three possible pshatim. Rashi in the Gemara gives three possible pshatim. He says, number one, he says the pasuk begins with the word vayakam and ends with the word vayakam. That it begins with the word going up, and it ends with the word going up. So from there we say that you're supposed to continuously go up. That's number one. Number two, that Moshe did it alone, without any help. So he could have perhaps gotten some help to take it down. Maybe he put it up, he could get help to take it down. From here we see the concept, Malin B'Kodesh V'lo Moridin, that it was put up by Moshe, so therefore it should be taken down by Moshe as well. And then the third one refers to the covering that was there. And this we discussed yesterday, that Moshe started by picking up the coverings, right? That covering he put up, and then he had to hold it up there. Why? Because Malin V'Kodesh, once the curtains are raised, lo moridin. It can't be brought down to do other things. So from there we see Malin V'Kodesh v'lo moridin. Now we raised yesterday in the Sforno. The Sforno says, well, how did they stay up? Right, Moshe's going to hold it up like that. It's going to be a little hard to put everything else in order with only one hand available. So the Gemara gave two answers. Maybe he got other people to hold it up, right, to keep it there. And the second possibility is that it was held up by an ace. Right, either way, it was up. It didn't go down until there was a plate, and Moshe put the pillars in underneath. Now, there is an interesting Hilchos Shabbos / Hilchos Yontif Shaila that emanates from this. And that is, the Gemara tells us that when you do binyan, the malacha of binyan is only done if you're building up. If you build the walls and then the roof. If you build the roof and then you slide the walls in underneath, that is not considered a malacha d'oraisa of binyan, because that is eino darka b'kach. That is an irregular way of building. People don't generally build a roof and then build the walls to go underneath. This shows up in the Gemara in Maseches Beitza regarding a cooking on a tripod. That if you're setting up a tripod to hold, and then you're going to put a pot on top of it, so that might be a shaila of bona. Yes, I know it's temporary, etc., but you got to work out that gemara, but that would be a shaila of bona. So what's the way to do it? Hold the pot in place, and then slide the tripod in underneath. That would be eino darka b'kach. So asks... So this is from the, I don't know who this is, so it's in the Sefer Daf Al Daf, from the Baal Minashe Sachir, the Mishnah Sachir, and then he adds in Hey Yudalad, which stands for, anybody know? Hey Yudalad? You have a Sefer and a name, or a name, and then what comes after is Shlita, or is a Tzal, or something. Hey Yudalad stands for Hashem Yikom Damam, that God should avenge his blood, which means that he died al Kiddush Hashem. I assume this person died during the Holocaust.
So what does it stand for?
Hey, Hashem Yikom should avenge Damam, their blood. Hashem should avenge their blood. that's the.
Have you seen that suffix?
Yeah, that's regular. I mean, we saw it here, but it's regular when we refer to Rav Elchanan Wasserman, for instance. He's probably the most prominent person who was amongst the 6 million. So it's always listed as Hey Yudalit Hashem. Well, not always, but you know, many people should list. I think in the introduction on the title page of Kolich Yerim, it says Rav Elchanan Wasserman Hey Yudalit Hashem. Yeah. So anyway, so he raises the question. Or yes, he had his son raise the question. He said, I don't understand something. The Gemara tells us that we have a malacha of bona. And if you do it, the roof first and then the wall second, that's considered eno darka v'kacha, considered not the regular way of doing it. Presumably then you don't violate a malacha d'oraisa. But where do we learn all of the malachas from? All the malachas are learned out from the Mishkan. And then we see in this pasuk, how was the Mishkan built? How was the Mishkan built? It was built by putting up the roof, putting up the hides first, and then sliding the wall in underneath. So doesn't that tell you that it is dark of a kach? That's the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash. So he responded by saying, or I'm not sure him or the author of the Sefer who quoted this, responded by saying, he says, well, we have a similar issue, and we learned this a couple of prakim ago, with regards to the weaving. What was the shayla that we had with regards to the weaving? Remember, how do they weave? They weaved off the back of the goats. So the Gemara comments that if you weave off the back of a goat, you are in violation of three malachos. You're in violation of gozes, shearing. You're in violation of menafetz, which is combing. And you're in violation of tova, which is spinning. You have done all three of those malachos. Then the Gemara responds by saying, yeah, you really, but you're not chai for any of them. Why are you not chai for any of them? Because all of them, when they're on the back of a goat, is considered eno darkav. That's considered not the regular way of doing it. Therefore, it's considered a shinoi. So the Gemara asks, but wait a second. We have a Mesorah that's the way they did it in the Mishkan. That's how they prepared in the Mishkan. So the Gemara responds by saying, well, Chachma Yisera Shaini, that they had some amount of extra wisdom. That was considered some wise guy or wise gal way of doing it, and that might have been normal for them in their realm of extra chachma, but that's not the regular way that people do it, and therefore we are the common person is not going to be chayiv for that level of daraisa. Now I have an interesting, it comes out to be an interesting thing here. Right, presumably if you did have chachma yisei, or if you were considered one of the wise purse people and you did it that way, you would be in violation of the malacha. So, but if you're not a wise person and you do it that way, you're not in violation of the malacha. Presumably, that's not a regular way for you to do it. What? Well, that's just a quick question with regards to that. Oh, so he then brings it back here and says, oh, so the same thing here, that there it was done some kind of extreme chachma way. So either it was a nace, as the Sforno said, or the other possibility is other people answered him. That's not as good. But according to the first answer, that it was done by way of a nace, so then that's easy, right? Yeah, that was unusual. That's not the regular way of doing it. Bona binyan, we are going to translate the malachos of the Mishkan into the regular way that we would do the malachos of the Mishkan if we don't have a nace gullo, a clear miracle happening at the same time. Okay? But anyways, that is the makor for, we have this pasuk as the makor, as the source for the concept of malin makodesh v'lo merida. Once it goes up in Kedusha, it can't go down. And we have what exactly is the limud? So Rashi gave us three possibilities. Problem is that there is another Gemara, or another Mishnah actually, in Maseches Megillah. The fourth parak in Maseches Megillah begins with the following concept. Really,
an everyday example of reducing.
Okay, so the Mishnah Megillah gives the following example of Malim Makosh Lomarida, Bnei Ha'ir, Shemachru Rechova Shel Ir, Lochem B'damah Beis HaKnesses. So the people of the city get together and they sell a road. I'm not sure what that means, they sell the road, they sell the rights to the road, I'm not sure. But
an easement. It could be an easement.
What does that mean? Whatever it is some kind of deal for the road. With that money, they could buy the basic Knesset. Basic Knesset, if they sell the shul, with that money, lochim teva, they could buy a Arun Kodesh. Teva lochim matpechos yachu svarm. If they sell the teva, with that they could sell matpechos. Truth is, I'm not sure what matpechos are. Okay, it's embarrassing. But with that, if they sell that, there's someplace between, maybe it's the covers, that must be what it would be, it must be the covers for the Torah or something like that. If they sell that, they could buy Svarim Lokum Torah. If they sell the Sefer Torah, they could sell the Torah. Okay, so there's a common Malin Bakosh. That money should only be...
Why
the Gabaya Torah, right? They can only, about imachru Torah lo yichu svarim. And then it goes the opposite. If you sell a Torah, you can't buy svarim. If you sell svarim, you can't buy my pechus. If you sell my pechus, you can't sell my teva, etc. So there is a classic example of malam mekodesh v'lo meridin. So Rashi on that Mishnah says, tells you, malam mekodesh v'lo meridin. You go, that the reason for this is this concept. Where does it come from, though? So Tosefta Malam Bekodesh Tichsiv Vayaka Moshe Esa Mishkan. So there's a Tosefta quotes this pasuk, our quote pasuk. Bitzalel Asa, that Bitzalel made it. Umoshe Shahaya Gadol Mimenu, and Moshe was greater than Bitzalel. Hikimu built it up. Philomoridin, and we don't go back. Why we don't hear from Bitzalel anymore? Bitzalel prepared it, right? Like IKEA sets. I'm in the middle of building a. We have the rooms shifting in our house. Tavia is moving into Shua's room soon, and Yossi is moving into Shira's room soon. So we got Tavia a new dresser from IKEA. So IKEA is the Bitzalel. They designed it all, and they give you all the tools, and in theory you're supposed to be able to put it together very easily, right? So we have the frame up. I haven't done the drawers yet, but the frame is up. Right, so, but once it goes, once it's out of Bitzalel's hands, into Moshe's hands, it doesn't go back to Bitzalel's hands. As an example of Malam Bekodesh, Velo Meridin. So you see there, that's a fourth possibility from that Mishnah, right? Bitzalel to Moshe, Dechsiv Es Machtes, and then, Dechsiv, as it says, Es Machtos HaChatayim Ha'ele B'Nafsho Sam, V'yasuo Sam Rekui Pachim Tzafu L'Mizbeach, Ki Yikrivim L'Fnei Hashem V'Yikdashim. As it says, the Machtos HaChatim, the shovels that were used of for these sins, they return them into the outside of the Mizbeach, as we see in Bamidbar Perek Yud Zayin. What's Bamidbar Perek Yud Zayin? Chapter 17 of Bamidbar. That is the end of Parshas Korach. What's it talking about there? That the fellows, the Korach's goons, right, who came in and built and tried bringing the Ketores, so they all died. And what did they do with the shovels? So the shovels were brought for a sanctified purpose. In theory, they wanted to bring the Ketores, so therefore they were banged down and used for the wall of the Mizbeach Hanachoshes, used for the wall of the copper Mizbeach. That's what it says there. So there you see it. So they're actually, there you go. So now you actually have five reasons. You have Rashi in one place saying three reasons, Rashi in another place seeming to imply two reasons. So why doesn't he mix them together? Truth is, it's questionable whether that's even a Shaila when Rashi quotes different reasons in different places. It could be that Rashi is just quoting you different reasons in different places. That's, Rashi is entitled to do that. He is a Perush. He's not really a Pasek in his commentary on the Gemara. More on that another time. But
something that was
a defilement. Yes.
Use it in
the
defilement and then put it in.
Right.
Well, that's,
so you see from here, no.
Yeah, that you're going to. But how would it be? You know, that they took something from Auschwitz and they put it into shul or something. You know, they used it for. I mean,
that whole symbolism issue. They brought it. I mean, you're trying to say they brought this for Kedusha. They, in theory, brought it for that ideal. Right? And therefore, we're going to use it. And also, as a memory, etc. So that's always a question. What do we want to use for a memory? What do we want to destroy? Right? When we say, Yimach Shemav V'Zichron, let his name be erased, let's remember him. Well, wait a second. They just say to erase the name. So, yeah, that's an issue.
That was just from a different perspective. When you do the tshuva, you can turn your sins into mitzvah.
Ah, very good. Very good. We turn our zechuyos, our chatayos into zechuyos, zedonos into zechuyos.
Right into the light.
Yes. Yes, as I don't think we actually have quoted that Gemara yet this year in Shul. That's rare. Okay. I think we quote that Gemara every year. All right, we'll have to stick it in Yom Kippur at some point. So, fine. So there is a Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua is a commentary on the Gemara. So Pnei Yeshua in Megillah asks, why is we learning different ways in different places? So the Pnei Yeshua says they're teaching you different things. One is talking about the mitzvah of Malin Bekodesh, and the other one is teaching you about the prohibition of Moridin Bekodesh. That's his distinction. That using that the Gemara in Megillah is telling you the chachilu we look to be malin, and the Gemara in Menachos is saying b'di'eved you're not allowed to be moridin. That's the Pnei Yeshua's answer, and they go together. Okay, so that's the background for malin b'kodesh v'lo moridin. So Bruce said, can you have some practical examples maybe of where we see in everyday life malin b'kodesh v'lo moridin? So there is I'll give you a few. So there is a Gemara. Not a Gemara. There's a Gemara. The Gemara Baba Basra says that when you move out of a house and you have your mezuzah, you're supposed to leave your mezuzah on the door for the next guy coming in. I can tell you, since I started this mezuzah business, I've got more questions about that than about any other topic in Hilchos Mezuzah. What exactly is that halacha? So, just the bottom line on that is that yes, it's true, you are supposed to leave them for the next person, provided that there's not going to be an interim where it's not going to be overseen. Meaning, if you're renting an apartment and you're moving out, and another frum person is moving in, but in the middle, they want to raise the rent. So how do they raise the rent? They paint the whole place. as Jerry Seinfeld points out, right, the apartment keeps getting smaller and smaller. At some point, you just find a bulge in the wall and plug in. So they're going to paint the place. So if you can have non-Jewish workers coming in and painting the place, so who knows what's going to happen to the mezuzah, so you could take down the mezuzah and take them with you. Even if that's not the case, and you should leave them for the next person, you should leave them. Yeah, you could leave them, but you're also allowed to sell them to them. You're supposed to charge, the person's supposed to pay for them. It's not a freebie. If you buy a house from a Jew, you get free mezuzahs. Yeah.
If you know the people coming in are not Jewish.
Oh, for sure, then you take it with them. Yeah, right.
The covers, you can take, right?
Yeah, right. It's only a scroll. Right, the cover, right. So,
you're gonna leave empty covers? Is that what you're saying?
No. He's saying if you like your scroll, you take the scroll and leave. Sorry, you like your covers, take the covers, leave the scroll behind. Right.
Where are you gonna leave the scroll?
You tape it to the wall. To be Makayim this din, right? But again, this din is only what is it based on? So it's based on the idea that you shouldn't have any time without Shemira, that there shouldn't be a lapse. So it's actually, that Gemara is not found really in where you would typically find Hilchos Mezuzah issues. Hilchos Mezuzah things are mostly found Maseches Menachos, a little bit found in Maseches Yuma. There's some stuff. There's some scattered stuff as well. That is actually found in Maseches, I believe, Bava Basra. Why Bava Basra? Because that's a halacha of Mazikim. Right? If you leave and you take the mezuzahs down, you might be damaging the place. Right? You're leaving it open to damage. That's one possibility. Another possibility that is brought down is to say, well, Malim B'Kodesh V'lo Maridin, that it was a holy room. It has a room that had a mitzvah of mezuzah. And now you're taking it down. So that's a violation of this din, that's why you have to leave the mezuzahs there. Okay, that's one idea. I saw another discussion about the following shaila. Can you use pages from one sitter for another? You have two mezuzahs that are, you have two siddurim that are falling apart, and now you want to take a sitter from one, and you can throw both out. Neither of them are good, but if you can take enough pages out of one and put them in the other, so then that would be then you would at least be able to salvage one. So is that okay? Is that permissible to do? So what's the shaila there? How is that a malin b'kodesh v'lo maridin?
Because one you bring up and one you bring down, no?
You're making one better, but the other one is now no longer going to be a sitter, right? It's now so in theory, based on this Mishnah, it sounds like that should be a problem. However, there is the following possible heter in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf. Right there. Simen Kuf Nun Dalet. In Aruch Chaim, Simen Kuf Nun Dalet. Is where the laws of Sheamus and things like that are found. The halachos of Tashmishi Kedusha.
Where is it?
Simen Kuf Nun Dalet, 154 in Aruch Chaim. So that's where the discussions of Sheamus are. And it has the following halacha. So in the Ramah Paskins, that you can't take the, talking about the aron, the structure of the aron, you can't take the paroches, the paroches doesn't have the kedusha of the aron, only has the kedusha of beis haknesses, so therefore the paroches could be used for other things that are considered kedushas beis haknesses. So for example, to use it as a chuppah maybe, or to use it as you take the paroches off the aron and put it down for the, on the shulchan. I used to have a dual use paroches. So that would be okay. It's also assumed that would be the condition that would be placed upon it. Cool.
That's the reason why that guy in Brooklyn who wears the tefillin all day long.
Well, the tefillin or the talisim? There's Rav Sheinberg, who passed away a little while ago, who wore many pairs of talisim, yeah.
And he doesn't want to take it off because it's like reducing
condition. I mean, it takes him off to go to sleep, but okay. You're right, I was never there.
How about bringing a sefer into the bathroom? A sitter into the bathroom.
Well, that's called a bizayun kedusha. That's not really this din. That's just in general. There are things that are considered kedusha. You're not allowed to use them for other things. So to use a aron and turn it into a bookshelf, so that would be problematic. That's actually the example that's being discussed here. So the Mishnah Berurah says. It says Vayin Taz. This is the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Lamed Aleph 31. Shemefakfi Ktsas Al Mashenogim BeOshana Rabba. That has a problem with what they do on Oshana Rabba. Shelachar Shemutzin Kol HaSifrei Torah. Now I'm not sure who's taking out all the Sifrei Torah on Oshana Rabba and on Simchas Torah we do. Maybe that was a minug then, or I'm not sure. But after they take out all the Sifrei Torah, Samim Sham Ner Dolik. They would put into the Aron a lit candle. You seen this?
No, I've read that.
You've read this, okay. They put a candle. Dofen, right, the have a dofen aron hakodesh tashmishi l'or haner. So all of a sudden, this aron that is supposed to be protecting Torah is no longer protecting Torah, but rather is protecting a candle. So the Taz has a problem with that. The Kedusha, then he continues on and says, V'kedusha sa'aron hu dafka kisha osin oso shia kavuliolam. Now the Kedusha of aron is only when it was made as a permanent fixture. Right? V'az afilu nisyaishen ha'aron. Therefore, if the aron gets old, v'yasu achi, make another one. Afilu hachi ein lihishtamish berishon l'orid mikdusha. You shouldn't use the first one and use it for something else. Right? That you shouldn't then turn it into a bookshelf. Or, in the case of Beth HaMedrash, turn it back into a television holding closet. Right? So you can't go ahead and do that. Avali ma'usin oso lizman. But if you only...
Beth HaMedrash, you've already done...
Right, that's an example of Malin Bekodesh, right. But Avali ma'usin oso lizman. But if you only do it for a set time. You know, I built this aron to last as a temporary aron until the other one gets built. Until the permanent one gets built. Right? In theory, in Beth HaMedrash, that aron that we use in the main shul is really only temporary. There's supposed to be a permanent one built. Right. Don't hold your breath. Until Hashem allows you to make an aron kosh karoi, la'achasha osa aron hasheni nisbatel kedushas aron arishon. So if that's the case, then the first aron loses its kedusha. If that's the case, so then you could use it as a bookshelf. Right, if it was only made temporary, then you're allowed to do it. Now, the Shaar HaTzion makes this comment here. He says, V'lo ha'tiki, and I didn't quote Masha Kasav HaTaz, that other thing that the Taz wrote. Now, I'm not sure what this means, because it's written by the same author, and it's on the same page. So in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, he doesn't say this. In the Shaar HaTzion, he says, I didn't quote this. Notice how I didn't quote the Taz. What? The Hechi de'iv shar lishtamish bo kedusha rishona. That if it's no longer usable for its first kedusha, Tov Yoser Lahoridu Likdusha Kala. It's better to bring it down to a lower Kedusha, Misha Yignas, rather than to break it and bury it, or to bury it in the ground. Lagamri. Dabachorshor, why? Why did he not quote that Taz? Dabachorshor Cholikalapos. So Dabachorshor disagrees, and the Prima Gadim also, Vagamakim Gadim Heshavav also has a problem with it, etc. So the Shaar HaTzion, what is he doing here? He's quoting a Machlokas, right? He's saying the Taz is Makil on that issue, right? If the Arun is no longer used, or he only says it. It's not possible to use it. Now, is it not possible to use because you bought a brand new aron, or is it not possible to use because it's falling apart? I'm not sure. But in theory, if it is otherwise going to waste, you're allowed to use it for a different purpose. That's what the Taz says. The Bechor Shor disagrees. You're saying, Abbas, you remember learning this? Yeah. So Bechor Shor disagrees and says that it's okay. So what do we do? So how does the Mishnah Berurah paskin then? So clearly the Mishnah Berurah wants to be machmir on this, right? That's why he didn't quote it. He said, I didn't quote that. Why? Because the Bechor Shor disagrees, and he's sounding like he should be machmir. So however, what by the way is a source for the Bechor Shor? So I didn't look up the Bechor Shor inside, but he actually has a Yom Kippur connection for his source. What is his source? That the Gemara tells us that after Yom Kippur, what did they do with the big begadim of the Kohen Gadol?
They
right? So they were put in Geniza. They buried them. Why couldn't they use it for other things? They buried. They put in Sheamus. The clothing of the Kohen Gadol.
Oh, really?
Right. One-time use.
One-time use?
Yeah.
Breastplate.
No. The special Yom Kippur begadim that were all white. Right? So those were put away, right? So ask the Bechor Shor why, if it's going to be thrown out anyways, so then you should be able to use it for something of lesser Kedusha. You see, the Taz is wrong. That's the Bechor Shor. That's his taina on the Taz. So, in the Piskei Tshuva here, he quotes people. He says other people give an answer to the Taz, for the Taz against the Sefer Bechor Shor. I don't know what those are, but that is, that is an issue that is put out there. So the so how does that then play with regards to the Siddurim that are both missing pages? So it sounds like if both Siddurim are missing pages, they're both going to go in the garbage. And if they're both going to go into the garbage anyway, so then you can take one and build up the other one. That sounds like that would, according to the Taz, it would be okay. Sorry, the Piskei Tshuva quotes many Achronim that says, even though the Mishnah Berurah is Machmir, most Achronim are Mekel on that. Most Achronim allow you that if something's going to be put into Geniza anyways, to use it for something on a lesser Kedusha. So to take a page out of one and put it into the other one, that would be permissible. The Shaila Aisko is as follows, that when it comes to Sifrei Torah, so Sifrei Torah, as you know, right, there's no cow that is large enough to be the skin for the entire Torah, so it's made up of what's called ureos, panels within the Sefer Torah. So as you roll through, right, so you have to connect the ureos one to another. So often, if there is a psul in one urea, so you don't have to replace the whole Sefer Torah, you could just replace that urea. So nowadays, actually, it wasn't always like this, but nowadays all Sefer Torah that are written, Zman Hazeh, are written identically. They're all, there's a pattern to every single one. They all start and end with the same words in each column, and that's the way it's done. So can I just take a panel from, can I buy a used Sefer Torah, take out the panel, and put that into my new Sefer Torah, or buy a used Sefer Torah to be used for that purpose? I mean, now I have a used Sefer Torah. I have, you know, whatever it is, 50 panels, 100 panels that I could use, and then I could sell off panel by panel. Perhaps that would that be okay? So you say no? Why not?
You're destroying
I'm being morid b'kedusha. Yeah. So I would suggest, yeah, it's morid b'kedusha. What about if the Sefer Torah is puzzle anyways? I mean, if I puzzle Sefer Torah, what does it mean it's puzzle? It means that there is two words someplace that are a problem. So now I have 98 other panels that I could use for a Sefer Torah. Would that be okay?
No.
Bruce says no. Ishomrim, yes. That's the machlokas. That's machlokas between the Taz and the Bechor Shor.
You can repair that for that one panel that's defective.
But not. I mean, right now it's puzzle.
Yeah, right now it's puzzle.
So now I'm going to take out. Now I'm
no
going to take.
Repair it either.
If it's repairable, I would say you should repair it.
I mean, sometimes yes, sometimes no. But I mean, there's a dip. I mean, a Sefer Torah is either puzzle or it's not. It's, you know, either pregnant or not pregnant. So, it's a very puzzle, right? It's either puzzle or not puzzle. So now I'm taking a urea that was unusable as part of a Sefer Torah, and I'm putting it into a Sefer Torah will now be usable.
Right?
So maybe that's okay. That's a machlokas out there. Many are mekel.
When we sold the shul, the Beth Amidra shul in Upper Brook Park to a church.
Yeah. Why was that okay? Well, they're building up to another one. I believe that's what the kula is based on there. I mean, yes, it's true, but there is another shul. I understand, but now there's another shul that's being built. What? Not idol worship. It was sold to people that weren't being used for idol worship. But even if it's being used for idol worship, the Yeshua says that if it is for a good purpose to build it into something else, so then it might be okay. The Mishnah sounds like it actually is mutter, but in the Piskei Tshuva he says, you know, make sure don't just rely on that Mishnah Berurah.
I think it's also you can't sell it until the other one's completed.
Yeah, you have to have a place to go. You have to have a place to go, not necessarily completed. Let me just give a few more examples, and then we'll talk later. Another place where this comes up is the halacha of the Magen Avraham says that we put an atara on our talis based on the concept of malin b'kodesh v'lo moridin. How is that malin b'kodesh v'lo moridin? That is the basis for an atara that we put something on the talis. How would that fit into malin b'kodesh v'lo moridin? because you shouldn't take a part that was used for the top of your talus and then use it for the bottom of your talus. So therefore you have to put something there to remember that this is the top of the talus as opposed to flipping around. So the another example of thing is to take your tefillin, right, and to flip it around so that I'm going to use the bottom part of my tefillin as the top part, right? And that way I could, what? The straps of the tefillin. I take the straps of the tefillin, take the bottom part, put it there. Perhaps that's puzzle. That's a problem for the same reason. So there are those that disagree. And Shari Tshuva disagrees and said, no. Malam the Kodesh for Lomaridim doesn't apply to one object. If it's the same, if it's only one object that's going to be used, so it's not. So it's not applicable. And then I saw that they brought a raya from a pasuk in Chumash. What's the pasuk in Chumash that that the rocks were arguing by Medrash, that the rocks were arguing by Yaakov's head, right? So who's going to be closer, right? So everyone wants to be closer. So what happened? It all coalesced into one rock, right? So I would still think that the different rocks would be arguing. Now it's just one rock, but all the different rocks are like, hey, I want to be further, I want to be on top, I want to be, etc. Right? So you see that if it's one object, we don't differentiate within the Kedusha within one object. So anyways, all that. So we don't say Malin Bakot, we don't say that there's different levels of Kedusha within one rock. So just like we wouldn't say that there's different levels of Kedusha within one talus, or within one Ritzua, one strap of tefillin, we wouldn't say that there's different levels of Kedusha within one rock. Yeah, that's, take it or leave it, in regards to that,
Shalom. What about using your tefillin bag for a change purse?
Right, so that would be a problem. That would be a problem. But again, that's not necessarily Malam B'Kodesh V'Lom Ridin, that's just a Bizayon Kedusha issue.
Well, if it's no longer used.
All right, so if it's no longer used, then you have a problem of V'Lom Ridin, yeah.
President, it is,